Gracious God, we thank you for Jesus, who does more than become a good memory for us. He is present and unites us to himself in the Eucharist. By offering this memorial of his life and death, may we who eat the bread he breaks and drink from the cup he offers become more authentic presence of your love and peace in the world. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
A reading from the book of Genesis. In those days, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. And being a priest of God the Most High, he blessed Abram with these words. Blessed be Abram by God Most High, the creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who delivered your foes into your hand. Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was handed over, took bread, and after he had given thanks, broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also the cup after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus spoke to the crowds about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed to be cured. As the day was drawing to a close, the 12 approached him and said, "Dismiss the crowd so that they can go to the surrounding villages and farms and find lodging and provisions, for we are in a deserted place here." He said to them, "Give them some food yourselves." They replied, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have, unless we ourselves go and buy food for all these people." Now the men there numbered about 5,000. Then he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50. They did so and made them all sit down. Then, taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing over them, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. They all ate and were satisfied. And when the leftover fragments were picked up, they filled 12 wicker baskets." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus. The story is told of a man who was talking to his neighbor outside of his house in his backyard. And he told him that today my wife and I attended the best lecture ever. It was on how to keep your memory sharp. And the neighbor asked him, what was the name of the person that gave the lecture? And the man thought for a moment, and then he said, "What do you call that flower that is usually red, has a long stem and thorns?" And the man said, "A rose." And he said, "Yeah, that's right, a rose." So then he turned around, and his wife was sitting on the patio behind the house, and he said, "Hey, Rose, what was the name of the person that gave the lecture today?" We forget. Sometimes it's so easy to forget. Today, Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." What sharpens our memory, our spiritual memory, our spiritual life, is the Eucharist, because in it, the whole life of Jesus is summarized, how he lived, what he taught, how he died. So today, of course, as we celebrate the solemnity of the body and blood of Christ, we are reminded how fortunate we are that this gift is still among us, that Jesus still nourishes us. We don't have to pay for it. We don't have to search for it. It's freely given to us. It's so easy to dismiss the needs of others. We heard in the gospel reading, right, that the apostles came to Jesus and said, dismiss the crowds. This is a deserted place, and we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Very inadequate amount. But Jesus didn't say that. Didn't agree with them, I should say. He said, no, you give them something yourselves. In a way saying to them, this is what you will have to do in the future. You will have to feed people, even sometimes with inadequate amounts. So, of course, what Jesus did, first of all, this miracle is recorded in all 4 Gospels. There is only one other event that is recorded in all 4 Gospels, which is, of course, Jesus' death and resurrection. And in fact, in some Gospels, this miracle is recorded twice, in a little bit different form. So, obviously, this was very important to the early church, to the early Christians. But what Jesus did, of course, is prefigured in the Old Testament also. The gift of the Eucharist is prefigured in the Old Testament. We know, of course, the story of the chosen people journeying to the promised land for 40 years. What did God provide for the nourishment? It was the manna, right? For 40 years, this miraculous food sustained them on their journey. Sustained them until they reached the promised land. That's when it stopped. The gift of the Eucharist never stops. It will be with us until God says no more. There is no more need for it at the end of the world, of course. And, of course, another Old Testament prefigure for the Eucharist is in the story that we heard today about Melchizedek and Abram, who is, of course, Abraham, later becomes Abraham. So what happened here is that Abram had a nephew. His name was Lot. And where he lived in the territory, he was captured by the local tribes and held captive. So Abram decided to go and rescue him because he loved him. And he succeeded. He engaged these local tribes in a battle and won and rescued Lot. So on the way home, he met Melchizedek and shared his story with him. So Melchizedek knew this is a time to be thankful. So he offered bread and wine as they celebrated the victory. And Abram, in return, gave him tenth of everything he had. The biblical concept of tithing, we know this is where it comes from. He was so thankful that he saved the life of this friend, of family member, I should say. God, Jesus gives us more, saves us more than from some captivity or something. He rescues us from sin and death, eternal death. So you see, that's how the Eucharist is prefigured in the Old Testament. And of course, in the New Testament, we know what happened at the Last Supper. In the second reading, Paul actually gave us the oldest account of the Last Supper, even oldest than the Gospels, because this was written maybe 14 or 15 years after Jesus lived, after Jesus ascended into heaven. So Paul had many reasons for this, for sharing this story, this account of the Last Supper. In Corinth, his first audience were dock workers, prostitutes, and slaves. And then also some rich people started joining the early Christian community. So many times when they would gather to celebrate the supper and to pray together, the supper of the Lord, the rich would come early. And when the poor came after their jobs were finished, there was hardly anything left to eat or to drink. And those who were rich sometimes even got drunk. So Paul had to confront that. So he said, look, this is not the right way to celebrate the supper of the Lord. Think what you are doing. You're making mockery of the Last Supper, of the Eucharist. So he invited them, this is what Jesus did. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. Don't forget. Do this in remembrance of me. That's exactly what we do, Sunday after Sunday. In fact, every day the Eucharist is celebrated, except, of course, Good Friday. So how fortunate are we? So yes, it's easy sometimes to say, this is not my problem. Jesus didn't look at it that way when he saw the crowds. Remember, 5,000 men, then women and children. So there might have been as many as 20,000 people. So he didn't agree, no, let's send them home. We did what we were supposed to do. Jesus did more. He went beyond what he was supposed to do. He preached the good news to them, and then he fed them. But then, with what? As I said, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Very, very inadequate amount. Yet, What did Jesus do? He took, he blessed, he broke, and he gave. Those are very important steps in terms of how we are called to live our life. Instead of dismissing a need of another person, we too can take what we have. Maybe we don't feel like that's enough, but it may be enough and more than enough in many instances. Then we can bless, we can thank God for it, then we can break so it can be shared, and then we give. What do people need today? Sometimes a listening heart, sometimes patience, kindness, understanding. We cannot buy these, but we can certainly freely share them. That's what the Eucharist is about. We cannot buy the body of Christ, but we can share it. It was St. Augustine who said, receive what you are and become what you receive. Receive what you are and become what you receive. The body of Christ we receive, and we seek to become that for others. The body of Christ that never hurts anything or anyone. The body of Christ that only gives healing and strength, sharpens our spiritual memory, our life. Perhaps you will remember at the end of April we had a parish mission, and what was the theme of the mission? Behold, believe, become. Again, that summarizes the gift of the Eucharist. We behold something unique, something special that God offers us. We believe that this is truly the body and blood of Christ. Really Christ present in our midst, and we seek to become that. So let us continue on the journey of becoming who we are called to be. Receive what you are and become what you receive.
Thanks for listening to this week's service. To stay up to date on the latest news involving our parish, please visit our website at goodshepherd-sc.org.